This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Our guest tonight is the current star of Here TV's program, Just Josh. He also holds down a day job as Here Media's Senior Vice President of Original Programming and Development, and Here is one half of a podcast I still mourn the end of, Here with Josh and Sarah. Welcome to Different Stroke, Josh.
Thank you very much.
Now, Josh, I would feel completely remiss if I didn't mention Here with Josh and Sarah. It was a podcast I was completely addicted to, and it makes me very, very sad that it doesn't exist anymore. But you've obviously gone from those podcasts onto TV. Did you ever anticipate that you would become kind of a personality? Because obviously you've got this kind of day job as well.
No, not really. And I have to tell you, Sarah will be very happy when I tell her about that, because she feels so left behind. Because Sarah left our company and went back to graduate school in Indiana. So I every once in a while get emails from her saying, like, nobody misses me. So she'll be very happy to know that she's greatly missed. No, it wasn't really ever my goal to sit out and be on television. My background is really in film and theater and television, but working, you know, sort of on the production side. And it was just a sort of organic evolution out of the podcast and then some of the other stuff we were doing, and our general manager, who basically created that podcast, her and me, said about a year ago, it was like, hey, let's do, you know, this show, just you. And I was really hesitant because I was so busy, just like you said, with my day job, and he kept pushing it, and finally he came up with a really fun idea of how we could do it. And so I just said, oh, okay, let's give it a shot.
And you've just finished your first season of Just Josh. How would you describe the show?
Well, the show really is a reflection of my love affair with New York City. I wasn't born and raised here, but my entire family, other than me, was born here. And so all my grandparents, you know, all four of my grandparents and my cousins and aunts and uncles. And so I spent a great deal of time here growing up, and I just love the city and love to explore the city. And so when I moved here about 16 years ago, you know, I just really dove in and found great things, great people, great restaurants, great artists, all sorts of, like, eclectic people that make up this beautiful city of ours. And, you know, my sister used to tease me. She's like, oh, you should be a tour guide, because mm-hmm. anytime anybody would come to town, I'd be like, no, we have to just go here, and sort of take you off the beaten path. So it's kind of like a television tour guide of New York City, of things that you wouldn't necessarily get in your Fromers or your regular tour book.
It's interesting that you mentioned the whole tour guide thing, because when I was watching the show, I guess, you know, as someone who is from overseas and has been to New York but has only really done the touristy things, what I really liked about the show was the on-location stuff, and I really started to get a sense of the city beyond that kind of that touristy stuff.
Oh,
so is it really just the reason behind that? Is that really just because you love it so much?
You know, with anything in television, you know, there's like, oh, could you do me a favor and, you know, talk to this person, or people pitch us ideas for segments all the time. So, you know, I mean, I sort of run out of ideas. Like, we have a running sort of list of things that I would like to do. I want to go have dinner with one of our council people, and I would love to, you know, go kayaking or take a trapeze lesson. So some of them just sort of keep moving down the list because we can't get to them. And mm-hmm. and so it does turn out to be a combination of things that me and my staff go after directly and seek out, and other stuff that sort of comes to us. But nothing on the show is, I usually don't agree to do something unless I have, because this isn't really what I was, you know, necessarily born to do, if you will, not Dick Cavett or, like I said, Dinosaur. You know, I have to have some sort of attachment to it. Like, it has to move me in some way. I have to be interested in the subject, because for fear that, like, I just would sort of zone out. So everything you see on the show is of interest to me. Some of it, like I said, we go after, and some of it actually comes to us.
And how do you decide on guests? Do you have a lot of control over it?
I generally work with the general manager. His name is Eric Feldman. He actually created the show for me, and he was the one who sort of came up with this sort of format of Just Josh. And so what we do is we have a list of, like, subjects or people or things to do, and we kind of go through it, and we look like, oh, this would be really fun, and like maybe we could do, you know, these three things together, because that would maybe make, because each half hour is made up of three segments, and then kind of an epilogue, sort of wrap-up of something that's, you know, bugging me, sort of like an op-ed piece. So mm-hmm. we generally look at to see if people sort of fit together, or things can fit together, or sometimes we just like, you know what, let's just throw these together and see, you know, they have nothing, you know, on the surface to do with one another, but let's see how they would sort of work. So there have only been two instances where I've refused to do something, and not refused, but just asked that I don't do it. And one was just, it sort of slipped through the cracks, and we didn't see it till the last minute. The other thing is they wanted me to go be part of a stand-up comedy improv troupe, and that's just, so I'm willing to make a fool out of myself in a lot of ways, and if you've seen the show, you know, like, oh, I'll pretty much put myself in any situation. But there was something about the comedy thing that made me uneasy. So there were only two points where I said no, but pretty much that our GM, who also produces the show, has a general idea of, like, my sort of wheelhouse around what I feel comfortable doing and, mm-hmm. and what I probably wouldn't feel comfortable doing.
I really love the vibe of the show, because it does seem, when I watch a lot of kind of American talk shows, if you will, there is kind of this slick and showy thing that happens, and it's not very deep, and you just kind of get this glossed over thing. And I feel like it's definitely got a more low-key and intimate feel. Is that something that you've actively tried to create?
It is, actually, because it goes back to kind of what I was talking about. Like, I'm not necessarily, like I said, I don't think I was necessarily born to be, like, on television, but, like, I am a sort of natural talker. So I like to talk to people, and that's generally the vibe of the show. And it was not too dissimilar to what we did on the Here with Josh and Sarah stuff, where it was like, I like to have conversations with people. I like to find out, like, what they're doing. I like to find out, like, what moves them. You know, having worked in film and television and theater, like I said, and creating plays or short films or music videos, I like to find out, like, what inspires people? Like, what is their process? Or, like, how do they go through it? Do they get frustrated? Do they want to give up? You know, all the things that I've experienced in my life, I want to know, like, you're somebody of interest to me. Like, do you have these issues too? And sort of put more of, like, a human element in it, because that's just what I'm sort of fascinated by in having a conversation with people. It would be no different than if I was sitting across the table from you or somebody else, like, just like having a cup of coffee and we were just chatting. I'd probably rattle off like 30 questions at you.
So you're now starting to show Josh online. Do you anticipate that will change the show at all, or is it really just realizing that you are in fact a tour guide for New York City?
I don't think the online iteration of the show will change the show itself. As you had mentioned, we just literally, I think yesterday or the day before, completed wrapping up our first season of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think it's 20 shows and each show has three segments, you know, that's 60 out of studio interviews. So it's a lot of running around. What I hope to do in season two is, scheduling wise, make it a little easier on me. But I also want to actually, I say I want to make it easier, but of course my idea is to expand the show and try and go to other cities. I mean, what I'd like to do now is see if I can get to, even if it's just up and down the East Coast corridor, whether it's D.C. or Philadelphia or Boston or Providence, Rhode Island, or Cape Cod or someplace like that, where I can actually go and sort of do stuff that is specific to a particular city or town and sort of find out what's really cool about that place. Because, you know, I like to travel. Mm-hmm. I don't think of the show as a travel show. It's really more of like a pop culture sort of look at New York City right now. But when I travel, this is kind of how I would go and investigate like a new place that I've never been before. I would sort of seek out like stuff that is slightly alternative and, you know, try and meet local people and find out what's cool and, you know, what's like, you know, something I can't miss in their city and sort of, That's how I tend to experience like different places, and I would like to do that and just bring the camera with me and see what we can find.
Now, I did want to ask you about, obviously, you, besides being an on-air personality, you're also really heavily involved with Here Media, and Joy, the radio station that we air on, is a gay and lesbian radio station. So what do you think is important about, why do you think it's important to have GLBT-specific media?
I think it's important because we are the keepers of our own stories. You know, it's great to see, you know, all these gay and lesbian characters on American television, you know, whether it's Glee or it's Weeds or any number of shows at this point, you know, are sort of beginning to write in sort of gay or lesbian characters, mm-hmm. but it's still not our story. We're just sort of like, you know, the second banana. Mm-hmm. And I think that with places like Logo or places like here, you know, just speaking domestically about the United States, you know, it's important because we are the ones that have to continue to tell our stories. And I know I have this conversation with, you know, some of our younger staff members, like, you know, why do we really need that? Can't we just, you know, all sort of assimilate? And I feel like I'm still of a generation that feels like we have a mission, and we have to be sort of to honor our history. And until those things are really truly understood, then somebody has to be the sort of torchbearer. And I feel like places like Here Media, you know, including The Advocate and Out and Gay.net and Gay.com and Here TV and Logo and all the sort of subdivisions of Logo, like we are the sort of bearers of those that flame in terms of our sort of longevity and history.
And what do you see as the future of GLBT-specific media?
Well, I think that it needs to sort of follow the trends of mainstream media, you know, look where people are actually getting their information and getting their content. And it has to be, you know, one of the things that we're doing here in, like, our, you know, development and original programming department is that we're trying to make content that is really flexible in terms of the availability and on many platforms. So it can exist as a half-hour television show on a broadcast network, but it can also exist, you know, live streaming in a shorter format, or it can be even, you know, diced up even smaller and you can watch it on your phone. So I think that for us, the future is to watch the trends and see where people are beginning to get their entertainment and get their, you know, sort of content needs fulfilled and follow that. But I do see it as having to make very flexible programming.
And what do you think are the challenges of representing minority audience?
Challenges are, you know, sort of the historic challenges. I can speak very specifically about, you know, being, you know, on air. I get a lot of really, really wonderful email from people who are in Montana or out in Idaho who are like, hey, you know, I just happened to catch this online and thank you so much, or you know, like beautiful, really heartfelt letters. But I also get a lot of things like, I'm going to come and chop your head off, faggot, and you deserve to get AIDS and die. You know what I mean? I get a lot of hate, not a lot, but I get hate mail as well. And I think that the vitriol of the conservative movement in this country, unfortunately for us, there is a minor, I'm going to say a minor groundswell in that area in this country. And it presents a challenge every day. Right now in New York State, the governor just passed the marriage equality law, so mm-hmm. men and women, same-sex couples can get married, which is fabulous. But there is, upstate in New York, there is a county clerk who actually gives the marriage licenses, who has refused to give two men or two women a marriage license based on her religious beliefs. So there's a statewide debate about whether this woman, since it's a government job, whether she should lose her job or not. And those are still the kind of challenges. It's like, why does she get to decide if I can get a license in this town? Now, sure, I can drive to, you know, the next county over and get a license, but that's not mm-hmm. the point. And so I think that the challenges are the same. I think we still face a lot of homophobia and prejudice in this country.
If you want to catch up with Josh, you can if you go to heretv.com. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.